Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of November the 18th, 2024. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. On this episode, we'll have a rundown of what happened at this week's City Council meeting and an interview with Michelle Raymer, the supervisor of crossing guards with the city. There's an expansion to the number of crossing guards in Thunder Bay, and we'll hear why in just a few minutes. But first, Council started off its meeting with a presentation from the head of the Thunder Bay Public Library. Richard Todman spoke to Council about changes to the library's operations and programs, including its new social procurement policy, along with partnerships with the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra and local school boards. There were also changes to the hours of operation for all branches. Todman also said the library will try and align itself with the city's growth strategies. There were a number of announcements to start off City Council on Monday night. They included ward meetings with Councillor Brian Hamilton for a McKellar Ward meeting on November the 26th at the Slovak Legion. As well, Councillor Greg Johnson will have a Nebing Ward meeting on November the 27th at the South Nebing Community Centre. Councillor Michael Zucino will have a Red River Ward meeting on December the 11th at the 55 Plus Centre. All of those meetings start at 7 p.m. There was also an announcement from Councillor Trevor Gertuda regarding a personal matter, which involves a pending court date. Gertuda said he would appear in court next week to answer to a charge that was laid earlier this year. The charge does not have any impact on City Council or his duties as a councillor. None of the allegations have been proven in court. City Council approved its meeting calendar for the next 8 months until the end of August of 2025. The schedule gives staff and council a short-term look at what meetings will take place on specific dates. No more than four committee of the whole meetings are held in a month, and there are also considerations for out-of-town conferences, including the Ontario Good Roads Association, the Rural Ontario Municipalities Association, Association of Municipal Managers, Clerks and Treasurers of Ontario, as well as the 2025 operating budget meetings. The meetings are only scheduled until the end of August, as council may enter into a new governance structure starting in September of 2025. That means that different standing committee meetings would be needed, along with fewer committee of the whole meetings. That change to meeting and governance structure would start September the 1st of 2025. A request from Thunder Bay's Waterfront Development Committee for some funding for the 2025 operating budget was denied on Monday night. The group says the funding is needed to advance its items in its action plan that span from 2024 to 2026. The plan includes advancing development and utilization of properties along the waterfront, preserving historic industrial properties, programming for the public, development of the waterfront trail, and creating promotional and educational items. The committee says it met with 11 different groups and city departments over the past couple of years with the goal of making Marina Park an attractive and vibrant destination. As well, the committee wants to enhance sustainable development in the area, create cultural and local experiences, and further reconciliation. The group wanted $150,000 for the waterfront development, in the 2025 operating budget. The money would be used to find additional funding from other levels of government, which the city's Intergovernmental Affairs Committee would help lobby for. The city-based funding would have been a one-time deal for next year. Some of the specific items the committee wanted to do included creating a waterfront user experience guide, creating a communications and promotion plan for the area, give recommendations to council for infrastructure changes, advocate to changes for railway crossings at the waterfront, as well as identifying improvements for event support. Whether you want to generate rental income, age in place in your own home, support a family member while offering them the independence of their own suite, or just to increase the value of your house, an additional dwelling unit might be for you. And right now, the City of Thunder Bay is offering grants through the Housing Accelerator Fund to support the creation of additional units in urban neighborhoods. This includes units created through apartments, additions, and accessory buildings like backyard homes. Eligible homeowners can apply for grants of up to $20,000 per additional unit. With more grants available to help with eligible servicing and application costs, you can learn more and apply today by visiting buildthunderbay.ca. Thunder Bay City Council approved the creation of four new crossing guard locations in the city. Two of the locations are at Grand Morgan Public School, with one crossing guard on Marlborough Street and the other on Rockwood Avenue South. The other locations are at Mary Street and Georgina Avenue, as well as Woodcrest Road at Pioneer Drive. The new locations will cost just under $28,000 in 2025 in staffing costs. The locations are based on traffic studies, showing there is enough traffic to warrant crossing guards at each location. At Grand Morgan, there were an average of 140 children crossing Marlborough Street daily, while another 32 or so children were crossing Rockwood Avenue. In Westport, the Mary Street crossing has an average of about 55 students crossing the street, while in Woodcrest Road, about 22 children were crossing the road daily. Three of the locations will be implemented this year, with a cost of about $2,100 for December of this year. The location behind Grand Morgan School on Rockwood Avenue would not be implemented until the 2025-2026 school year. This is because a sidewalk is needed in the area. The work is scheduled for the upcoming summer to complete that sidewalk. The salaries will be paid for through the city's operating budget for 2025, while this year's salaries will be covered through vacancy savings. City Manager John Collin wrote a memo to Council on Monday informing Council of an in-depth third-party review of the city's animal services operations. The memo says there have been numerous commentaries and concerns expressed about the services provided by the city. The consultant will look at the city's current model, policies and procedures, along with practices, and make recommendations to how the current operations could be changed. The review will consider the limited resources of the city, along with provincial responsibilities, and the role of other animal services groups. The review will not assume that the current model is broken, but will look to the model that the city could use moving forward. The city will provide enhanced communications to the public and stakeholders as the city's role for animal services in Thunder Bay. Council appointed Carrie Marshall, the Commissioner of the Growth Department, as its nominee to the board of the Northwestern Ontario Municipal Association. Typically, the city manager is the city's administration representative on the board that voices concerns that impact municipalities in Northwestern Ontario. In a memo to council, city manager John Collin says the Commissioner of Growth is a more appropriate choice and that Marshall has shown an interest in being on the board. The nomination will be forwarded onto the Northwestern Ontario Municipal Association board. And finally, the Boulevard Garden and Maintenance Bylaw was again deferred until December the 16th at the request of administration. The bylaw would allow for the creation of boulevard gardens on city-owned boulevards. The delay allows for the Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Clean, Green, and Beautiful Committee to provide input to the draft bylaw, as well as for administration to then analyze any feedback. Potential changes could also take place when considering the feedback. The report will go back to Council on December the 16th. And that's a wrap as to what happened at Council this week. For more information on anything that happens at Council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. Well, as a parent, there's a lot of things to be on the lookout for. But having your kids cross the street safely at their school shouldn't be a worry. After all, there's usually a crossing guard to help them get across the road. On Monday night, Council approved the expansion of the Crossing Guard program to four new locations in Thunder Bay. Michelle Reamer is the Supervisor of Crossing Guards in Thunder Bay, and she can explain why guards are posted to specific spots in the city. Michelle, thanks for coming into the Minute Studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so sorry about the construction noise. It's a floor below us. There's not much I can do about it. My apologies. So first of all, there are four locations now in the city that are going to see crossing guards soon. So what do you do to kind of determine where they should go?
So first we are notified of the locations. There's also locations that I go and look at just on a rotation every few years. We'll go and see because neighborhoods change. So we do traffic studies. So there's different types. So we have at mid-block spots where there's no stop signs, no lights. Those are called mid-block locations, and we'll do a gap study there. So that's the gap between one vehicle going and the next vehicle coming, dependent on how wide a road is and the walking speed of children. So we don't take for adults the walking speed of children. Mm-hmm. So you multiply that out, and then you need so many seconds of a gap to get across the road safely. If we have not enough gaps when children are crossing the street, then you would be meeting the warrant criteria. As long as you've got enough children to cross there as well. We also have using the exposure index, so that's at lighted intersections or stop sign intersections, and that's looking at conflicting vehicle movements. So if you've got a certain number of kids walking and then a certain number of vehicles that are going through that crosswalk when children would be walking, then you implement that into our Excel spreadsheet, and it does the mathematical equation for us. And if we meet the 85th percentile or exceed the 85th percentile of existing locations, then that again would meet the criteria.
So there's a fair amount of science that goes into this.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of engineering and mathematics to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got these four new locations that are going in. Why were these specific spots being targeted? Because I'm sure there's many places across the city that could use or would like a crossing guard.
So we actually, because of the bus distance changing, we knew that that was going to be coming. So we already had a plan as soon as September started to start looking at these spots. So we ended up looking at about 12 locations this fall. So out of those 12 locations, a lot of them did not meet the criteria, but these four, they met the warrant criteria for it.
So essentially they met the criteria and you said, okay, it's time to do something.
Yeah.
How fast can we get people in place?
So because I knew this was going to be probably happening, I knew we would have a lot of locations to look at. So I had a feeling we would need extra people. So we went on a big hiring spree and we've been hiring quite a few this fall, which is different from normal years. But we are still always recruiting. And we've actually got enough people to fill the locations. So it's really just a matter of a few logistics. So we have to get lines painted. We have to get locates for the huts to get put into place because they do have to be screwed into the ground. And signs have to get put up. Notification to the school and to the school community and to the general public. We want to notify them as well that there's some new locations popping up. So we're going to be implementing the three locations December 2nd, and then one on Rockwood. We'll have to wait till next fall because we need a sidewalk. There's no sidewalks over there at all.
So can you maybe tell me where the locations are and I guess who they're trying to serve?
Yeah, so we have Woodcrest and Pioneer intersection. So that's a three-way stop. So that's going to be for the Woodcrest Public School right there. We also have on Mary and Georgina. So that's going to be for St. Anne's School. And then we also have at Ecole Grand Morgan. So we're going to be having Marlborough. It's a mid-block location that'll be going to their front door. And that one will be implemented right away. And the one that's on the back side of the school on Rockwood Avenue, we need to just wait for a sidewalk to get put into place as there's nothing to safely cross over there right now.
Mm. Is there kind of like an ongoing traffic count that you're doing throughout the year as well to keep looking for changes, I guess, in locations?
Yes. And typically we only do it when it's nice weather because we want to make sure that we get highest number of children pedestrians as well. So in the springtime, again, we'll be rolling out and doing a bunch of traffic studies again at different locations. So we'll see what it looks like. With the bus distance changing, though, we've also just been aware and wanting to get the numbers of the children walking at our current locations. So we took that information from the springtime of how many we had walking, and then we compared it to October.
Mm, see what your changes are.
Yeah, and we had an 82% increase in walkers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah. So overall across the city, we have 2,600 kids crossing a day now, and we were at about 1,500, maybe not even.
So that's a massive change.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see the program changing as we kind of evolve into the future?
So our program, you know, it stays very much the same year after year, right? We do have the same locations every year. None of them are going to be getting looked at to getting cut or reduction in our services because we do have that increase right now. We also have an increase in vehicles because with the bus changing, we've got a lot more people that are driving, so there's a lot more vehicles around the areas as well as the kids walking. So going into the future, we're just going to keep looking at locations as they become apparent to us. If there's new spots that we should look at, we may end up having some more in the fall. We never really know until we actually get out there and start looking at it. All of the locations have had an increase in walkers, so there's definitely not going to be any cuts that I can foresee. And we also have an influx of vehicles, so there is less gap times at a lot of locations as well. So there's definitely not going to be anything happening anytime soon.
And continually looking for new locations, or looking for, I guess, places where, you know, the services might be needed?
Yeah, so we have a great relationship with the school boards, and they can contact us whenever if they have anything. And we also go out and are in the field quite a bit. So we are around majority of the schools quite often, and we'll go in and look at the locations of the schools every few years. Like we don't do it year after year because that's just way too many. We wait for at least 2 or 3 years in between to see if there's any difference in the community.
How many crossing guards are there in Thunder Bay?
So with these new ones, we'll have 42 locations, and we'll have 48 crossing guards out every day. So they'll be out twice a day. In total, with our relief pool, we'll be at 60, but we're still climbing because we do have some more that we're hopefully hiring soon.
And one thing that you mentioned is staffing challenges. I know that's something that you've been working on for a long time. What are kind of the challenges of getting crossing guards?
Yeah, for years, it's always a challenge. And that's the challenge across Ontario. So we are connected with our counterparts in Ontario, and that is our main focus all the time, is recruitment and retention. And how do we get the word out there? Most of our crossing guards are retirees. There's some that are stay-at-home moms. I have some that are on disability. I have some that have other jobs, so they work in the evenings, or they have flexibility in their schedule so they can work the morning and after school, and they do their other job in between. So I do have, you know, a whole range of people. Majority are older though, and that's why we're always looking to hire, because, you know, things come up with them, and so we always need new people. But it is always a challenge to get the word out. We try to put out as much recruitment as we can for notification to people. We have the huts with our signs on them all the time, and right, put out there, you know, and our Facebook, we'll put it out there on Facebook as well. But it's honestly, it's tricky to get noticed. Yeah.
Even though it's a very noticeable job. Mm-hmm. It's a very noticeable job. This was all at council last night. What was the chatter around the council table?
They're mostly just asking some questions about the crossing guard program in general. They wanted to know, for example, they wanted to know why some crossings have two people and some have one. The reasoning for that is actually the lanes. So if there's two lanes of a roadway, one person can manage that. But if you have four lanes or five lanes, one person in the middle of that, you're going to not be able to control that whole intersection. So we do have two people, so then they can each control two lanes or so. And that's, you know, the only reason we have them at traffic lights is because you've got turning traffic. So when they have a walk signal to go across, pedestrians should have the right of way. But at those intersections, a lot of the times you have vehicles that are turning right or turning left in front of or behind pedestrians. And children pedestrians are unpredictable. Sometimes they start running.
Yes, they are.
And maybe a vehicle thinks they can get through, but a child starts running because they don't know what that vehicle is doing either. So those are the only reason we have them there. There was a lot of questions just about, like, our program in general, you know, and how do they reach out if they have somebody that's reached out to them for a new crossing guard location to be looked at. And that was, you know, contact the schools, because the schools do have our information and they can contact us and let us know.
Michelle, appreciate you coming in today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle Raymer, she is the supervisor of crossing guards in Thunder Bay, and she joined me here today in the Minute Studio. And a big thanks for listening to The Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or minutes, just visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, Visit thunderbay.ca/the minutes. You can also find the minutes wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. That's thunderbay.ca/the minutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. We'll chat again next week. Make it a great day.